Just before the episode begins, here's a reminder that we are on a website called On Podium, where you can find all our episodes, you can find blogs, you can register to become a guest, you can write reviews, you can subscribe from there, including our videos, which go onto YouTube. You can even donate if you want to support us. And what's the address, Nick?
So it's 2-5-1.onpodium.co.
On to the episode. Well, hello again. We had such a lot to say about the Beat Generation, which we didn't get into the 5 minutes, that we thought we'd do a little addendum. So this is still 2 pianists, 5 minutes, 1 subject. I'm Simon Whiteside.
And I'm still Nick Tomlin, and this is 251. There's quite a good YouTube clip I found of Jack Kerouac on the Steve Allen show. Now, Steve Allen had a very popular show in the 1950s, I guess.
Late 50s, early 60s.
But he was also a pianist. He was also a jazz pianist. And so he had a lot of jazz-related guests on, musicians and people sort of involved in jazz. And there's a quite a famous clip, actually, of Kerouac. There's a little interview. It's kind of funny because Steve Allen's kind of tinkling on the piano while he's interviewing him. And then Kerouac reads from On the Road, and Steve Allen accompanies him with a trio. And this was quite a common thing. I mean, very often the beat poets would have a jazz trio, very often a trio accompanying them, literally improvising behind them as they read their work. People like Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Kenneth Rexroth as well. These were two who definitely incorporated jazz into their live performances.
Yeah, I mean, there were quite a lot of... Because we didn't talk about City Lights.
City Lights, the bookshop, yes, that's right.
In San Francisco, yes, they used to have happenings where... that's where Howl was first read live.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Steve Allen was that he was really into bop culture. In fact, there's a book called Steve Allen's Bop Fables, which are very, very similar to Al Jazbo Collins' jazz nursery rhymes. And I think probably, I don't know who came first, but that some of them are almost identical. Mm. And I think there was... one of the things I thought, which I didn't say in the last bit, was that jazz was brought to white middle-class America by some strange roots, and the Beat Generation was one of those strange roots. Mm-hmm. And then people like Steve Allen championing the Beat Generation.
Mm.
And the things like the style, the clothing.
Yeah.
I guess Dizzy Gillespie was the model with the beret and the goatee and the glasses. And in fact, there's a funny advert for Get Your Bebop Glasses for $2.99, mail order. but 57, was it? Sputnik was launched by, and that caused a lot of big stir in America. And that's where adding Nick to things.
Oh, I see. Okay. I didn't realize.
That's where the term beatnik came from.
Right.
And no good Nick. And those sorts of terms, which were sort of vaguely communist. And I think also the Beat Generation were vaguely communist.
Yeah, I never actually made that connection, but that's interesting, yeah.
But they were also Buddhist, in a way.
Yes, yeah.
And there was a lot of the whole kind of road trip thing and the almost like the nomadic monk.
Yeah, they're interested in Eastern philosophy as well. I guess it's, again, it was a way of challenging the prevailing culture, really, that was, I suppose that they inherited, really. It was another way of bringing something new or looking,
Yeah. It's interesting to me, that kind of political aspect of it, which was that they had a lot of... they were kind of the bohemians of their age, weren't they, basically?
Yeah.
So there were models of this style of slightly off off the beaten track.
Countercultural. And in fact, they kind of became the hippies, didn't they, in a way? So this whole kind of, this countercultural peace strand, man. Really,
yeah.
I guess, began really with the beat poets to an extent.
We probably ought to mention William Burroughs, who we haven't yet mentioned. Yeah. And he was really into Ornette Coleman.
Yeah.
And in fact, the score for the film Naked Lunch is Ornette Coleman.
Yeah, yes, it is.
With orchestra. Yeah. So, more jazz connections. Well, we've managed to do another 5 minutes, Nick. That's impressive. From me, Simon Whiteside, goodbye.
And from me, Nick Tomlin, goodbye.